You're with Dwayne's World. Take a few more of your calls shortly, especially on this new Northern Territory versus Tasmania argument. One coming through on the speckled text. Northern Territory would be the most exciting side of all time and everyone's second side. And another one coming through. Tassie all day. We deserve it. 1300 736 736. If there was a 19th licence handed out in a couple of years and the business plan presented to the AFL was exactly the same from the Northern Territory and the Northern Territory government combined as it was with Tasmania and the Tasmanian government combined. Let's face it, the Northern Territory would split their gains between Darwin and Alice. Tassie is going to split their gains between Hobart and Launceston if they come. And if the business model was exactly the same, who would deserve the 19th licence? Would it be the team that provides more players to the AFL? Or 1300 736 736, have you got another way of separating them? Because I don't think they're going to hand out two licences in 5 years' time, but at least Northern Territory are now putting their hand up. 1300 736 736. Your calls after Luke Parker, who joins me on Sydney Swans Membership Day. 5-game access for just $88 today only. Visit membership.sydneyswans.com.au. Luke, welcome to the program. Great to have you back.
Hey, Dwayne. Thanks for having me.
Just talking with a couple of texters and a couple calling through as well. Swans, how do we measure you this year? What's the way of measuring you? Is it ladder position, win-loss ratio, improvement of your kids? Because it's hard to really assess you guys, and it's probably the best thing just to erase the Marsh 1 performance by you guys out of our memory and start again looking at you this weekend.
Yeah, it's probably the right plan is to erase that first one. Look, that's obviously not up to our standard, and we pride ourselves on making sure every time we come onto the park that we compete and we get another opportunity, I guess, this week against North, which is great. But for us as a season, we're looking to improve. We've got a lot of confidence in the blokes that are running out each week that we can get the job done. So, for us, we're looking at a successful year. That's what we strive for. We don't want to put a number on anything. For us, it's about coming out each week and knowing that we're a chance, which we think we will be.
Now, because you're not going to improve necessarily. You've been top three in the BNF for the last 3 years, so you've had great seasons. You're going to beat Luke Parker again. We're excited about that because we know how good a player you are. Lance Franklin, we know he's been the best player in the competition. So if Lance ends up stepping out fit, we know what Lance Franklin's going to give. Is it actually getting an extra 15% out of your more experienced, your lesser experienced guys, getting the Heaneys and Mills of the world to step up to a next level? Is that where the improvement's going to come?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's that next generation coming through who have all played a lot of football at an early age. I think obviously Millsy and Haynes as well, but I think it's more like Will Haywood, Ollie Florence, those boys, Ben Ronke and Tom McCartan, who have played a lot of football on a big stage at a young age. They're the ones who they start to really see themselves as mature footballers and a big part of our club. So they're the boys who will obviously hopefully take us to the next level, and we need them to as well.
Should we be a little more patient this year? Because it looks like in some ways you are in regeneration mode, or should we not cut you any slack and say, well, if you missed the eight, you failed, and it's been a disastrous year for the Swans. So how do we equate that as well? Because there are ways to, have your ladder position drop, and yet if you ended up having all Australian seasons out of some of your young up-and-comers like Heaney, then you'd probably say, well, we're headed in the right direction.
Yeah, well, our mindset's not to be patient. We want to perform well, and we want to perform well each week and give ourselves the best chance. So for us, it's about being successful, and we're not waiting a couple of years or halfway through the season to get going. We want to make sure come round one we're putting the best team out in the park and we're competing with the rest of the competition.
So a good Lance Franklin, a fit Lance Franklin, is that looking like, say, maybe a 15-game season? Do you rest him every now and then? How do you get the best season possible out of Lance Franklin at this stage?
Well, it's one, getting through to his stubborn mindset of wanting to play every game. So first off, you got to get... I think he's the ultimate professional. He knows what he needs. I'm not going to be the one that's telling him to take a rest, because I know that's the last thing he'd want to do. So He loves playing footy. He still acts like a little kid out there and looks as just as excited as ever. So, look, he wants to get out there. I think he'll be pushing for round one. If not, round two would be great. And look, for us, he's pretty unstoppable. Tell him to take a break is a pretty hard thing.
I reckon the footy world actually loves Lance Franklin. I feel like I'd like to see him in a press conference, just an open press conference, taking questions from the floor from a crowd of journalists for half an hour. Yeah. I think he could handle it. We don't see that. It's not compulsory, so he doesn't have to do it. If he was asked to do it, if it was compulsory to do it, he'd handle it okay, wouldn't he?
Yeah, no, he'd handle it fine, I'm sure. Everyone would want to get inside the head of, if not the greatest player of all time. So, look, he doesn't have to meet those obligations. So I think he'll probably turn it down at the moment. He just likes to let his footy do the talking, I think.
Does he talk in the rooms, though? Is he a bubbly kind of infectious character just in private? So you get to see the real Lance Franklin and we get to see the reticent, not saying much Lance?
Yeah, he is. I think he's a massive presence around our club, not just because of the way he plays, but his attitude to training, and he's still got, as I said, he's probably 33 or 34, and he still carries on like a little kid sometimes, and still mucks around with the 18-year-olds. So he hasn't lost that side of football. He enjoys his time, and he's a ripper personality to have around the club.
So you train next door to the SCG. Do you get on the SCG at the moment? There's still a cricket pitch in the middle of it for another few weeks at least, isn't there?
Yeah, we haven't trained on it this year yet. So hopefully closer to round one or two, they'll have it all nice for us. And yeah, I think it's just the changing over of the cricket grass and trying to get ours to come through is always a bit of a hassle to get that done as quick as possible. But yeah, we've trained just across the road. Which I think will continue considering the amount of games they'll have on the SCG again this year.
So is that a little bit frustrating, or is it just the way it is in Sydney, so you accept it and don't give it some thought and move on?
Oh, it's obviously... look, I've had the best of both worlds. I've had every training session on the SCG since I've been here, and obviously, yeah, it's not ideal, but it is what it is. It doesn't have any more effect on us coming game day. But look, being out in the SCG is a special thing, and you want to train out there as much as possible, and there's great memories out there. So for us, yeah, it's ideal to be out there, but at the moment it's not to be, and we'll just deal with it, enjoy the game day.
Talking to Luke Parker, Sydney Swans co-captain, will play his 200th round five, which is a nice little milestone, Luke.
Yeah, it is. It's crept up on me. So look, it feels like it's flown by. I think it's my 10th season now, and I think round four we have Joey Kennedy's 250th, and then the week after my 200th. So it'll be a good, fun fortnight of footy.
You've been around long enough to give me an answer to this. Where do you stand on academies and local player development? Do the two New South Wales teams, do you think it down the track they should get, you know, first use, or all the New South Wales players first option? You kind of do as it is now, but it's developing more and more that way, that New South Wales ACT players should be optional for the Sydney Swans and the Giants to get first.
Oh, I have no problem with teams having their academies and getting first pick. I think they've obviously developed those players for a long period of time, and put in a lot of money to have these academies running, and it's only to grow the game as a whole. I get we get first pick, but if you have 10 superstars coming through, obviously we're not going to get all 10. You might get one or two. So look, it's pretty hard to hold on to a bunch of good players, especially if they're good enough. As I said, you've developed a lot and you might get a pick of one. But I think, yeah, teams obviously deserve to be entitled to have a first pick at the boys that they've developed for their majority of their lives.
And is there deserved to be a cost of living allowance or a player retention allowance with the Swans too? You've been so successful, so no one wants to give you anything. But if the Gold Coast gets some and the Giants get some, you probably deserve to get some too, because it's only fair.
I'd be nice considering the rent that I'm paying at the moment, but look, not meant to be. But yeah, look, it is obviously a more expensive town, and look, a lot of boys move away majority of our guys are living out of state and away from home, and it's a tough city to, I guess, raise a family, and if you have to move over your family, it's even tougher. So, look, that'd be nice, but not sure if that'll come back in.
And what about gambling? Would you take 2% less as a pay cut if the players decided to put their hand up to have the AFL take no gambling advertising money? It's been talked about a bit here in Melbourne. Nathan Jones had a chat to me a couple of days ago about it. Does it bother you, gambling advertising, or if the players rallied behind that cause like Eastern Wood wants them to, would you support it?
Oh, I guess it's up to the players as a whole. It's obviously, look, I've never been a gambler, so I probably don't have too big an opinion on it. So yeah, it's obviously a hard one. I think obviously that's the way sport is at the moment. Is even things like Supercoach and whatnot, it is kind of taken away from the actual sport. But look, I think it's such a big thing in Australia society. It'd be hard to take away. But look, obviously you never like to see people in the worst case scenarios of where it can take people.
Great to have a chat to you, and look forward to seeing you in round one, Luke. Thanks a lot for your time, and good luck across the final round of the Marsh Series, taking on North Melbourne down in Hobart. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
Luke Parker, City Swans co-captain, City Swans membership day today. 5-game access, just $88 today only. Visit membership.cityswans.com.au. Quite a few of the players were spoken to recently, including Nathan Jones, not that bothered by the gambling revenue that the AFL is taking, even though Eastern Wood rattled that cage a couple of months ago. It's going to be interesting if they do continue to raise that, because there's a few fans out there that are sick of it, but there's quite a few fans out there that love a gamble as well. Luke Parker joining me. Take a break. More of your calls after. Dean in Port Melbourne, Michael in Hawthorne. Give away the F1 tickets as well. You with Dwayne's World.